Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We got a Super Mario Brothers movie review, Nintendo's potential future in Hollywood, a new Harry Potter series on HBO Max, and some brand spanking new news with Star Wars right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship and international podcast of LRM Online, the Genre First Podcast Network, and the world. Right? The world generally. That was some sexy sad shit jammer with the brand spanking news, because the stories primarily involve Ray and like the spanking. That's kind of weird, a little awkward.
It isn't primarily. There are three separate news stories about what the thing.
I don't know, man. That sounds like a transgression to me. Anyway, we're going to have a conversation about Mario.
You did sound like you said Harry Potter. You did say Harry Potter, not Harry Potter. Maybe it's a Colorado thing.
Harry Potter? You're right. I forgot to bring in my British accent. I always imagine Dobby saying
Dobby. You just did Dobby.
So we're going to start out with our
to go back to school.
We're going to start out with a review of Super Mario, but I almost want to jump to the Harry Potter news now. It's very exciting. So we have a film. We've got Super Mario. This is a film that is, 30 plus years in the making. Shockingly, as someone who has been playing Mario games for more than 30 years, I have very little say about this movie that sits at a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes with the critics and a 96% with the audience. That is incredibly shocking to me. So I can't wait to get into this and talk to you guys and see what you think about this Mario film. It's directed by Aaron Horvath and Michael Chelenik. Those names sound mostly familiar to me from Teen Titans Go. I don't know if that stuck out to you as well, gents.
One of them did the movie as well.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I'm still wearing my 3D glasses. I'll take these off. I actually had to see the film in 3D. So, Super Mario 3D for me. I don't know about for you guys. Well, Jammer. Danny, unfortunately, didn't get a chance to see it.
You guys are 3D anymore.
You guys are flat as fuck. It's all right.
Well,
moving on. Joseph Jammer Medina, let us hear your spoiler-free impressions. That was your opportunity to say, it's a me, of Super Mario.
Super Mario Brothers. I'll just start off by saying that this was my most anticipated movie of the year.
What?
But, you know, yeah, I was so excited for
this movie. You're on fucking drugs. Sorry, go ahead with your Twitter
review.
Over
Guardians, over
Indiana Jones, Spider-Man.
I'm not even an Indiana Jones. Spidey.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, the trailers got me amped up, and I'm sorry to say that it did not live up to the hype. So essentially, I'll say this. Super Mario Brothers, it captured the essence of Super Mario Brothers, the video games, and was fun to watch, but just kind of a middling average time at the movies. I give it a C. Also, it has way too much. It goes way too fast. That movie could have used an extra 30 minutes. That movie needed an extra 30 minutes, in my opinion.
No, it didn't. That movie was 90 minutes long. You're saying you want this film to be 2 hours?
That movie could have been an hour and 50 minutes easy. I mean, I'll talk about this later, but those are my thoughts. This is one of those few movies that could have benefited from a longer runtime.
No, absolutely not. So listen, it is now April. Last month was the fourth anniversary. March was the fourth anniversary of Breaking Geek Rare, the podcast. This is the podcast that Nick and I started, then did with Tanya, then Jammer came on, then Danny came on. I say this to say, not because I wasn't on the anniversary show, but to say in all of the films that we've reviewed, I have never fallen asleep on a film until today. Now, certainly part of that could be that I was sleepies. That's always true. But I definitely dozed off during this film in the last like 15, 20 minutes of it. That should give you some impression of like how gripping the final act of this film was. All that to say, I didn't give a fuck. I agree with Jammer wholeheartedly that this is at least a solid C, if not C plus. I do think that the 55% is an insane score, an insanely low score. While I didn't particularly care for this movie, I didn't love it.
I mean, because I think we too often look at it still as a grade. It's not a grade. It's literally saying half the critics were like, nah, half the critics were like, yeah, okay. So I could see half the people not liking it easily.
I don't think there's anything objectively wrong with this movie. I think that it is.
Oh, I do.
Fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay, go ahead and finish your spoiler-free thoughts, and then we can jump into spoilers.
Yeah, I just all that to say, I got super sleepies while watching this film, and yeah, I think families will enjoy it, but I don't think that this is the film that gamers of our age were looking for.
Okay. So let's hop into spoilers then. The only reason I want to talk about spoilers is I do want to dig deeper into the reasons why I thought this movie could have been longer. This shit happens way too fast in this movie. Like, so for example, you know, the intro, I thought, okay, that's got a nice little intro, whatever, it's all good. And you kind of go into it. And then you get to the Mushroom Kingdom. And then you have Toad, who without question is all about Mario just hanging out with him. And I'm like, I think we need a motivation. I think we need to know who this guy is and where he's coming from and why. We don't necessarily need to spend a minute. Yeah. Who is he? Who is he? Why? Why is he? Why is he?
There
care?
Was absolutely no reason. And what I love about that is that Peach was like, do you know him? And he was like, no. And he was like, he's my best friend. Like,
no,
I like that.
This was done better in Puss in Boots, where it was a part of his personality. The Last Wish, it was a part of his personality. And there was like a reason for it. He was attached to people because he was lonely. There was nothing there for Toad. There should have been something for Toad. And that could have been an extra few minutes, not a lot, just a couple minutes to justify it throughout the movie. It would have been fine. Similarly, when Mario ran into Peach, they were really quick to say like, okay, cool, let's go. And I'm like, what? Let's talk a little bit about more of the fact she's like, you're human. And they kind of brushed past that. I'm like, they should have dug more into what that potentially could mean and all that. And it just felt like there was, I think this movie felt like an outline of a script. And it felt like they didn't give time for it to breathe. And I'm like, give me scenes to work with here. Give me something to work with. Give me motivations for these characters. That way I can buy what's happening, which would then make me care about them more, which would then make the final act actually mean something. Because there are a lot of moments in that final act, like when they, or not even in the final act, but even like throughout the movie where they say, Mario, you never give up, do you? And I'm like, well, that would have been nice to plant at the very beginning of the movie. Or a couple of other things throughout where, hey, that was a nice payoff to a plant that didn't happen. That was a nice payoff to a plant that didn't happen. There were a bunch of those throughout where it's like the ingredients were there, but they just weren't baked properly. And they just weren't given enough time to breathe. And if they had been given that, if we had been given those scenes, we had been given that time, we would have cared about the ending and it would have been more impactful. Because I remember thinking at the conclusion when they both had like their, you know, the superstar invincibility thing, and I was thinking, I feel like I should care and I don't. They could have added more scenes so that I could care. And that's where I'm thinking this time could have been utilized. As it is, the backbone and spine of the story, people say it's not a good story. I think the story is fine. I just think it didn't dig deep enough into the motivations and didn't dig deep enough into like the actual scenes, and that made it feel like a bad story. It was just poorly executed in favor of keeping things zippy, in favor of squeezing in as many Easter eggs as possible, which, don't get me wrong, was awesome to see, and it looked gorgeous, and it captured that essence and made me want to play Mario Odyssey, but didn't result in a fulfilling film.
You know what's impressive? I'm not sure you've breathed in the last 60 seconds.
Yeah.
I agree with you from this perspective. Puss in Boots is unquestionably a better movie. So if you have 90 minutes to kill, watch The Final Wish. Puss in Boots.
Last Wish.
I agree with everything that you're saying. I guess my thing was I didn't expect a lot from this film. And so I accepted those things as being like, meh, whatever. If you walked into this and said that the story was bad, then the story of every Mario game is bad.
I mean, right? Mario has no story. It's usually literally, yeah. Princess Peach is captured, go get her. That's it. That's literally it every single time. Maybe we'll get a Rosalina backstory, but that's usually, those were done in secret and weren't revealed to Miyamoto until after the fact.
My big problem in this film is kind of that. They went in and felt like someone had to be captured. Like, hey, it's 2023. We can't have the princess get captured again. What are we going to do? So they had Luigi get captured. And to me, that was a mistake, because I thought one of the best things about this movie was the relationship between Mario and Luigi. They did a really good job setting that up in the beginning. And even in flashbacks, right, getting to see the baby versions of them. And while that could come off as just an Easter egg, it still set up them as characters really well. But for the majority of the movie, 67% of the movie, they're separated. And mm-hmm. I thought that Chris Pratt and Charlie Day were really good together. So that is one thing that was...
All the performances were great in this movie.
I thought so too. You know, for all of the hate that Chris Pratt got from the beginning,
he did a good job.
And the expectations that gamers and people had that he was going to sound like the character of Mario that we had become accustomed to, absolutely ridiculous. But I thought that they did a good job of striking the balance between that and what's reality, right? So we got like that goofy voice throughout the course of this movie. And so we understand like little things about why they are the Super Mario Brothers. We understand like where that voice comes from. We understand a lot of those things. So I enjoyed that. Who was your favorite? You said everyone did a great job. Who was your favorite?
Performance?
Mm-hmm.
I think either Charlie Day or Jack Black.
Okay.
What about you?
I really enjoyed. I like DK.
He I liked his character, but I mean, that was just Seth Rogen. I don't think he did anything super special.
No, he was just fun. He was just funny. You know who I didn't like? I didn't like is it Cranky Kong?
Yeah, I didn't like him either. He sounded too young.
Yeah, I was like, you just sound cranky. What's going on here? There's no crank in this Kong.
He kind of talks like this. It's really kind of weird.
I didn't like it either. But I liked there was some character development for Luigi throughout the course of this.
And if they had more time, they could have been better.
It's fine.
I think the problem, and here's why I see it with you. It's just like, I look at it, your perspective, like, no, I don't want 30 more minutes of the movie I got. And I'm like, no, you're right. You want it improved, because like adding that time would have made you care more and would have been a better experience. We need to release the Snyder Cut of the Super Mario Brothers movie, please.
Yeah, I could see that. They were probably, I can't imagine. There were just so many Easter eggs and so much stuff that they were doing in this. Could they have found more time for character development? Yeah, because I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm trying to recall how long Puss in Boots was, because I felt like that was really good in terms of developing Puss in Boots as a character, even though that was like what, the third, fourth film in that.
It was the second Puss in Boots movie.
Was it really? Oh, well, yeah, that's not fair. He's been developed in other properties, but this one felt like they did a much better job of doing that for him. Question for you about this. As you look back and recall, did you prefer this or Sonic?
Good question. I think
I know.
Sonic was probably a little bit better because Sonic leaned into the heart a bit more. But I think Mario is a movie that captures the world a whole lot better because Mario is just in the real world. Or excuse me, Sonic is just in the real world. I want to see more. Like, it made me so hungry to go back to the Mushroom Kingdom and just to experience this world with a better story. So I see more. After I saw Sonic, I was like, that was great. I don't feel the need to see the sequel. I still haven't seen the sequel, which I will at some point.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I will. It just hasn't happened yet. But Mario, I'm like, I'll be there day one to watch a sequel because I want to see more of this world, even if the original movie was kind of blah. And I hate to say it, like, all my criticism, I mean, I don't think it's going to stop this movie from being a huge mammoth success. I think it counted what it did. Like, and I mentioned this when it first got picked up by Illumination, like years ago when it was first announced. Chris Meledandri, who also, by the way, was a producer on Puss in Boots, that guy is a genius. Illumination, I don't care what people say, they're geniuses. They make relatively mediocre movies on a mediocre
small budget. Yeah.
They make so much money because they know what appeals to kids. And no matter what I say, they kind of know what kids like to see. And I think this could have been better still. I think if I had been in the writer's room, I could have made this a $1 billion movie. But now it's just going to make like $600 to $700 million, which is still great and is totally fine. But Illumination gets it where it counts for the most part. Though I do love the Sing franchise.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. I think I talked about in my spoiler free review the fact that, you know, families are going to enjoy this. Irrespective of what we say here, there were people that got up and clapped in the theater that I was in. They were like, Mario, clap. I was like, nah, it's not all that. It's not all
nerds.
That. But nerds. I don't have a lot else to say about this film. I did have one question for you about what else you would want to see from Nintendo, given what you saw here. And would you want Illumination to do it?
Sure. I mean, with this, well, let's start with this Mario. I'm totally down to see more Mario and Donkey Kong stuff from Illumination. That's kind of been established here. Honestly, I'm okay with Illumination being involved in pretty much all of them, as much as like, I'm hoping that they learn from this and that they help build stronger stories. Maybe they won't, maybe they will. I like Sing. They can do good stuff.
I'm shaking my head because they're not going to learn anything from making a mediocre movie and then have families give them money hand over fist to see it.
I think if it
there's no less, they're not going to learn anything. Oh,
I think if it doesn't hit $1 billion, I think there's obviously room to grow. This movie should be a $1 billion movie. And I'm hoping it doesn't make $1 billion so they could maybe learn their lesson. I don't know. Cause this is, and I'm wondering also how much of this has to do with Miyamoto. Shigeru Miyamoto, who's the creator of Mario. It's funny because he notoriously doesn't like story in his video games, I don't know about other things, but I could also imagine being there and be like, no, there's too much story here. Cut it out. Let's get them hopping around. Let's get them jumping around. No, cut that out. That's too much story. Let's go ahead and do this. He says he doesn't dislike story, but he begged to
differ. Do you think that happened in this? Do you think there were
I have no idea.
Where he was just like cutting? Okay.
I have no idea, but it feels like it could have been. Because
so you're
I
saying
see
we got the
like,
Miyamoto cut. We need the Snyder cut.
We need to release the ultimate edition of Super Mario Brothers movie, the 30-minute longer edition of the Super Mario Brothers movie, where we actually care about what's happening. Would I see more of Illumination with the Mario, the Marioverse, I would say. Yeah, I think I would. I think I'd hope they'd have more creative folks to go in and then do story, more story-focused things, and add it to an already impressive animation. And it's very clear that this movie was made with a lot of love from a lot of animators who grew up with this. And so, like, I think they did a lot right here. And I think the fixes would have been fairly easy overall to this story.
Are you whispering? Don't whisper to me.
I don't know. Yeah, it could have been better. But yeah, I would. I would see more of them. I'm trying to think of what else I want to say about Mario before we transition into your actual
It looked question. Gorgeous.
It did.
I thought it looked amazing.
It did okay. look amazing. I'm trying to think here if there's anything else that I want to say.
It's okay. It's okay. Just let it go. It's all right.
It's gone.
Let it go.
It's okay.
Move on.
It's gone. Yeah, let it's it go. Gone. Let Let's it go. Move on. Let's move on.
All right. I want a punch out game or a movie. That's all I want.
Okay.
I want to see that. That's all. That's what I want to see.
How do you adapt the music though? How do you adapt the music? 8-bit style.
From Punch Out?
Do you update that? Yeah.
I thought they did a really good job here. So Brian Tyler, who did the score for this, did a really good job of integrating the old and the new. And so I would like to see more of that. I was actually kind of surprised, Jammer, you didn't talk about that because you're a big music guy. I heard you bitch and moan and during Tetris how they used the wrong music. Here they had the actual music and they blended that with actual score music.
Yeah, they did a great job with it too. I want to go back and revisit it in the score form before I make a thoughts about it. Like it when it worked, it okay. worked, but I almost wanted more. I almost wanted it to be incorporated more into orchestration. I know. Well, because you know what it was is like there was a part where they were underwater, and I was like, "Here's the part where they could go like dun dun dun," and they didn't until the very end where they had it in the credits. They could have swapped that and had a version of that, a darker version, when they were about to get eaten by the giant sea monster.
Okay, all right, I will accept this.
But was great.
Yes,
like the everything that was done was fantastic score. But yeah, let's move on to like you want to see a Punch-Out movie, so. How would you make a Punch-Out movie, and how would you want it to be done? Do you want it to be done live action? Do you want it to be done Illumination, another animation studio? What do you want from this?
I want to see. I could see it with this animation studio, and I would like to see. I want it animated. I'm fine with Illumination doing it. I just think that it would be fun to get to see these ridiculous characters in an actual.
What's the story? Who's Lil Mac? Who is Little Mac? So what's his story and how do we incorporate the other boxers into this?
It's just Rocky. What are you talking about?
Dude, it's Rocky an anime tournament yeah. arc. Come on, yeah. Jammer. Jesus.
I'm not asking him for my vision. I'm asking him for his vision.
Oh, no.
Thank
that's
you.
What else would you do?
It's Golden Gloves. It's Golden Gloves. Little Mac, Golden Gloves, do some tournament style type
thing. You want this story, Jonesy? You need to watch the anime Hajime no Ippo, which I've been revisiting. And
allegedly.
Allegedly. And yeah, watch Hajime no Ippo. It's very fulfilling.
This is the one from Creed 3, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll check that out. I will write it down. I'll add it to the list.
As far as what would I want to see from Nintendo, like I think there's a lot of potential there. I think this proves that these movies can be successful more than I liked Detective Pikachu, but Detective Pikachu didn't feel like Pokemon. This feels like Mario. And I think leaning more into this for their future, I anticipate a lot of they can have so many spinoffs. They can have a Donkey Kong spinoff. They can have a Toad spinoff. They can have a Peach spinoff. They can have a Luigi spinoff. They can literally have a Bowser. They can have a spinoff for every character in this freaking movie and just create a whole bunch of them. And I think that's there's a lot of potential there for that. It also makes me want a Paper Mario version because I feel like the Peach here felt very Paper Mario-ish. And I want to I want that.
It'll be the NCU, Nintendo Cinematic Universe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're shaking your head, Jonesy. Why don't you like Paper Mario? Have you ever played a Paper Mario game? They have the best stories.
For about
stories.
5 seconds. I'm just not an RPG guy. But what
they have
I
the
think
best
would
stories.
Work, but what I think would work is a scene, right? An N64 scene or a Paper Mario scene. I don't know. But I think that's an
no.
entire.
You need a Paper Mario. You need a Paper Mario film.
Wrong.
Or a series.
You're incorrect. Listen. I tell you this a lot. You're wrong.
Does Danny have a movie? Nintendo thing brought to
I know
life
we,
at all?
I know we said we didn't want any uninformed opinions, but based on watching Super Mario Brothers, Danny, what Nintendo product or movie would you like to see in the future?
Duck Hunt.
It's a good one. That's a good one.
Okay.
Who plays the dog?
I want Duck Hunt, and I don't need to know the duck's backstory.
Alan Tudyk plays the dog, obviously.
That could actually be a really good Tom and Jerry style cartoon.
Yeah, except usually with guns, there's like not a lot of it's. I guess they were pretty violent back then too, so maybe not. I was trying to think about. I was like, oh yeah, literally, they had legitimate guns back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's what I want. I'm sorry. That's what I want for the thing that Danny brought up. My bad.
That's what I want. That's what I want. You want something else. I want. You want some anime stuff. I want that kind of.
You know, it's funny is this whole time Kyle thought that I was literally leaning into the idea of, oh, I want a Zelda game or I want a Zelda movie. That wasn't what this was coming to. It was literally more about assuming this is a big success. Where do we realistically think Nintendo will put their chips in next? Is it going to be another Mario sequel or is it going to be a Mario sequel plus something else? And if it is plus something else, what do you believe would be that next big product? And I know some people I've seen online. And I don't know how likely this is, but this movie made me want to see it more. An animated Star Fox would be dope.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Could be really, really good. I honestly think if this does well, I think a Luigi's Mansion spinoff is very, very likely. Whether that comes in the form of some streaming series or a movie, I don't know. But I think a Luigi's Mansion is very, very popular part of the franchise there.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm surprised they didn't lean more into that. They kind of hinted at it a bit. I thought it would make a bigger chunk of this movie. And it really wasn't, because no part of this movie is a big chunk of this movie, because that's just the nature of this movie. Speaking of what Jonesy said, like they could have spent more time with Luigi and them together. I think they could have just spent more time with Luigi before he was, you know, captured, like him going off in his own little thing rather than getting captured almost immediately. But I think what this movie proved is that almost any sub franchise can exist within Super Mario Brothers movie. Like the next movie, like rather than having a Luigi's Mansion spinoff, I could see them having Super Mario Brothers 2 and like a huge subplot just being Luigi's Mansion part of it.
Or Mario Kart.
Or Mario Kart.
Smash Brothers.
They just kind of incorporated everything into it. So
yeah,
I think it's more likely we'll see those aspects incorporated into Super Mario Brothers sequels going forward rather than specific spinoffs.
But you know what's going to happen. We're going to get a sequel with Yoshi or Luigi. I'm sorry, Waluigi and Wario. That's what's going to happen.
Is Wario going to team up with Bowser? Are they going to free Bowser?
Yes. Yep. Yep. All right. Anything else?
No, I think I'm okay. I'm all okay right to move on.
All right. So what are we moving on to? We're moving on to Star Wars or Harry Potter. What are we doing?
Harry Potter!
Harry Potter. Harry Potter. All right. So Bloomberg has announced that or has said that Warner Brothers is nearing a deal for Harry Potter to be an HBO Max television series. The plan for this rumored show or the deal that they're working on is one that would see each season be an actual book within the series. Trying to see if there's any other relevant. There isn't a lot to this story. Like, that's really it. So Jammer, do you have a reaction to that story?
I do. I've been wanting this for so long. Ever since Harry Potter 3, they've just been like, they've had to cut out a lot of things by nature of because of the runtime. And it wouldn't be a huge problem if it was done super successfully, but so many times you have issues where things just don't make sense if you think about it for 5 seconds, because they don't do a good job of closing the loop. They're just kind of like, just keep it out. Like in Harry Potter 7, inexplicably, Harry has a piece of a broken mirror that was never introduced in any previous movie. He just has a piece of a broken mirror because he had it in the book from a previous book in a scene that we didn't get in the movies. So we're just going to pretend that happened.
I thought he took it from Abelorth's house or whatever. Doesn't he take it from Abelforth's house? He takes it from that house before he's looking at it to see things.
Did he? Well,
I think so.
I missed that. I've watched these movies so many times and I never noticed that. Anyway.
Because they're even looking at a broken mirror or something that Dumbledore's brother had, and I just assumed he took it because they make a point of showing them with it, if I recall correctly.
Maybe that wasn't the best example, but Jam is absolutely right. There were things that just kind of got painted over or ignored, or just to speed things along with the story. That probably wasn't the best one, but yeah, that shit did happen.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, no, like the biggest one everybody wants is like Hermione as the advocate for was it the elves? Yeah,
the elves.
That was a big subplot that people were upset being cut out.
I don't mind subplots being cut out. I just mind them being cut out when they play into the bigger part of the story, and now the story doesn't make sense anymore. And they were pretty fast and loose about that. Because to me, like, I think that subplot doesn't really go anywhere, if I recall correctly. I'm sure maybe it builds on things, but I mean, it's a thing that could be developed well into a series that could play into things in, throughout the season. And obviously one big hurdle they have is that the first 2 to 3 books are really short and not necessarily conducive to, 10 episode series. But I think one benefit they could do, and I don't know if they would, is they could have different length seasons. Like they could have season 1 be 6 episodes.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Season 2 be 7 episodes, season 3 be 9 episodes, and blah, 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 and blah. Do it that way.
So there's already a precedent for this with J.K. Rowling books. If you look at the Cormoran Strike series, so they've adapted those for HBO Max already. And so you have seasons of different lengths based on the length of the story. So they've already done that with her.
It's true. They have. And so I think there's a lot of potential there. Personally, I wanted to see an animated version, but
please stop.
That's get the fuck out of here, Jonesy, just with your animation hate. Please stop.
It's not an animation hate. Like first off, you know, I love a good cartoon.
Which is why I'm like so shocked. Get out of here. Get out of here, Jonesy. With your shaking head.
No, thanks. No, thanks.
Why don't you want an animated version?
I prefer a live action version of this. I just do. I don't know that I think that there's much that animation would add to this. What I would accept, I would love animated flashbacks. So anytime they have to do a flashback, the way that they... Why are you making that face?
Because I didn't understand what you meant, but now you're talking about the Deathly Hallows flashback stuff, right?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Okay. So like, do it that way. That was fun.
Also, what would be really great is if Harry's parents weren't played by a bunch of 40-year-olds, or if like the adults weren't super old. Because you know what's really weird and messed up about the Harry Potter timeline is that literally everybody should be 30 years old who is an adult. And they're all like 40 and 50 in the movies.
This is you complaining about every 80s movie where all the high schoolers are like 40 fucking years old. Who cares?
All right. Well, fuck me.
Man.
Okay, so actually,
Danny, you've had shockingly little to say about your native Harry Potter. You haven't even said the name. You got to do the thing.
Harry Potter. I'm happy to have a live action version. My only fear is that if they promise a series for a book and the first couple of books don't go well, we're kind of left wanting, a little bit like what's happened with Fantastic Beasts. They promised, 4 or 5 movies, and then after 2 movies, we don't really want any more. 5, thanks, producer Carl. And now we don't really necessarily want any more, but we kind of got to see the story finished out. So
no,
it's a rocky path to success, I think. I think it's a rocky path to success. Looking at what happened to Lord of the Rings, I personally love the show, the new series on Amazon, but there was a lot of division. A lot of people didn't like it. The real Rings fans said this didn't happen. The fanboy kind of fans. And if that happens with the Harry Potter series on books 1 and 2, maybe 3, then maybe we won't get all of them. And I would like to see all of them completed. So it's a it's a dangerous, rocky path. And then you've also got J.K. Rowling's current kind of status in the Twitterverse and stuff with her comments on stuff. So it's not going to be an easy journey to see all of these books made into all of these series. I would like to see it, and I think it can be done really well, but I don't hold out much hopes on it actually happening to any success, purely because of the size and the scope and the challenges in its path.
So I hate to say this, but I'm
Danny,
say
to
it.
Your point, well, hold on. So to Danny's point about what happened with Lord of the Rings, I saw a headline that I just looked it up just to confirm. They said that most people didn't even finish the show.
37% of people did not.
Yeah.
Or did. No, 37% of people did finish the show.
Yeah, the completion rate overseas was 45%. Said the Rings of Power may reflect the critiques, with only 37% of viewers finishing the series domestically. So domestically being within the United States.
And would this be something that would affect the commissioning of season 3? Because I think season 2 has been commissioned already, right? Am I right?
But it's an expensive show. So does that mean
they've got to wrap the whole thing up in the next season? And therefore we're going to get a rushed storyline and stuff to you? What do you think?
Couldn't say. Amazon has more of our money than anybody.
But going back to Harry Potter. Harry Potter. I don't know how you want me to say it.
Just not Harry.
Not like that.
I don't think there's a world in which this series is not successful. I'm sorry. I feel bad saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think Harry Potter fans, that they're full of shit, and them saying they're not going to watch this, they're going to watch this. They're going to watch this. It's going to be successful when it comes out. And especially if it's relatively faithful to the books, the feeling of the books, and things happen, and they're, you know, they're properly built up. I think it's, I don't see a world in which this, when the show is decent, that it's not a big hit. The 30th anniversary thing with JK, with the cast was huge. That thing, or not 30th, 10th, whatever anniversary it is of Harry Potter, that thing was a huge hit on HBO Max. And I think enough time will have passed between then and now that people are going to be like, okay, the JK Rowling thing, we could separate her from Harry Potter. Let's enjoy the show for what it is.
Yeah. What time period would you set this?
90s. Because that's when the series takes place. Like, because I don't see any reason to modernize it. And because, you know, even the thing about Harry Potter and his world is that technology messes with magic, which is why it's not incorporated into the wizarding world. And so it really wouldn't add anything to make it modern. It would just make it more confusing because it's like, well, why aren't they doing this thing? So just keep it in the 90s where you don't question it as much anyway. And you're good to go.
Yeah, who needs a Marauder's map when you could just use your phone to GPS someone?
You can't. Google Earth does not cover Hogwarts.
No signal.
No okay. signal.
All right. Anything else to say about this?
I'm really excited about this. And I think that also, given the fact that Hogwarts Legacy was released amid a lot of controversy. And has sold, what, over 12 million copies in the first month?
Like the first or second week, yeah.
Or first, second week? Come on, Harry Potter fans. A lot of game.
I think you're talking about two different groups of people.
Maybe I am.
Yeah. I think that there are people who would count themselves as Harry Potter fans who aren't necessarily in that group of people who are saying, like, I'm not going to XYZ or blah blah blah. There are other people who want JK Rowling held accountable for some of the things that she has said, and I think those
she's gotten so much people, worse she's gotten so much worse in the past
those,
month or
that
two.
Group of people, they fit into multiple buckets of folks. Mm-hmm. So
that's fair. You know, that's a good point. Like, maybe it isn't about those very vocal people actually playing it, and more about those people who are just like, yeah, I like Harry Potter, I grew up with Harry Potter, and not even either caring or noticing, and just picking up the game or watching the series. And I think this one will very much be the same thing. Series.
I agree.
When it happens.
Anything else to say, gents?
Bring it on. Bring it on. I don't think there's a world in which this is not successful. This is going to be a huge hit for them.
You heard it here first. Well, maybe the Warner Brothers boardroom, but on this podcast first. Moving on. Well, Jeremy, do you want to do the next story?
I'm going to say one more thing really quick. Sorry. So the thing about Fantastic Beasts, though, is I think the reason why Fantastic Beasts, you know, it's crappy movies, whatever, but it also doesn't have that wish fulfillment aspect that Harry Potter has. And I think that's what Hogwarts Legacy brought. And I think that's what retelling the Harry Potter series will also bring. So that, I get to live in, that is a huge part of it, man. Like, it's,
well, here's
like, what house are you from in? My perspective. Let's talk about going to school and learning magic. Da 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 da.
How many Fantastic Beasts are there? Three movies? Three movies. Okay. In the last one where we got more of a focus on Dumbledore and Grindelwald, I felt like that. I was like, we should have just started here. One, Dumbledore should be the main character for this series. Two, I liked getting what we got from Mads Mikkelsen and Jude Law as characters. I get nothing from anybody else in this series. So the quality of the movies is also part of, like, I just don't give a fuck about these main characters. So sure. I don't necessarily need the wish fulfillment aspect of it, but give me characters that I'm interested in. They don't have to be. You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe it is just a me thing. But I thought that Mads Mikkelsen and Jude Law killed it for what we got. And I was more interested in watching them than anybody else.
I'm thinking more about those people who are obsessed about
fucking
Harry Potter.
Commander.
They're not obsessed about Harry Potter. They're obsessed about being a Gryffindor or being a Ravenclaw or going to school and having potions with Snape because it's a weird fetish now. I don't know. But like all of those things, it's all about just wish fulfillment for a lot of it. And of course, there's great storytelling and world building and all that. But I think it all kind of stems from the wish fulfillment aspect.
Okay. You're entitled to your incorrect opinion.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the next story, which I believe, sure, you want to go ahead. So we got some spicy spanking new stories. I'm going to say spanking again.
You're just going to lean into it again.
I'm going to lean into the spanking. And this comes from StarWars.com. So we got a confirmation of another movie that's still happening, and that's from Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy, who is involved in Ms. Marvel. That was the project that Damon Lindelof was doing, and they recently replaced someone else. So that has been confirmed as still happening. And you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, but there are a couple other projects as well. I don't know if these two were ever announced until now. Am I mistaken or they're new?
These are, as far as we know, completely, these are completely brand new announcements. No idea if these are connected to the former Feige film or any other previous ones.
There's no indication know in the past. I know they mentioned, or it was mentioned in a leak, so it wasn't officially announced that at least the Kevin Feige film was done, so who knows. But so the two new movies that we're getting,
I would say this: Mangold was once rumored, and that rumor was allegedly, well, what's her name, Kennedy shot it down. Mangold was originally going to do the Boba Fett movie, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought that was Josh Trank.
No, Mangold. Trank was going to do something else. There was, but anyways, Mangold was at once, and Kennedy said that it was a rumor. It had never been true or anything like that. But his name was once attached to Star Wars.
Okay. Well, so you kind of alluded to this. Well, the first film that we're getting is from James Mangold, who, of course, did Logan and Indiana Jones and the Dural of Destiny, as I call it. And that movie has yet to come out. But, you know, it's looking pretty good. You know, I had a new trailer drop earlier today, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm excited to check it out. In addition, we're getting a movie from Dave Filoni, who fans have been eager to see head into the world of live action following his TV transition amid the Mandalorian verse. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about James Mangold. His movie will go back to the Dawn of the Jedi. What that means, I don't know. That's all the information we have to go off of right now.
It's prior to the Old Republic. So this is,
well, yeah, it's the Dawn of the Jedi. It's when they,
I don't know how much they're going to compress their time, but this should be like my dream of picking 1,000+ years in a direction and going there.
And
this should be so far back that there should be no No Palpatines, no Skywalkers, none of that. Should
no.
Should be. Should be.
Yeah, and I think the next movie that we're getting from Dave Filoni will focus on the New Republic, and which is the world that follows, you know, after the Empire falls and stuff and all this stuff's happening and what emerges from that. And it will apparently close out the interconnected stories told in The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, and the other Disney Plus TV series. So it says, you know, this is the thing that's happening. This kind of culminates. We've talked about this years ago, back in what year was it? I'm looking this up right now. 2020. God, it seems so long ago. It wasn't that long ago. We basically dropped this story a long time ago about how literally they have The Mandalorian, Ahsoka, Boba Fett, and Ezra Bridger and Grand Animal Thrawn show, and then a new character show that are going to kind of cross and interweave with each other. And that's really what's happened here, which is cool that our story was correct. But I'm not sure how I feel about it culminating in a movie, and it just gives me Clone Wars vibes and how it's like it's not going to be accessible. It's going to be like very steeped in mythology to a point where I don't care. And I don't know, but I've never been a huge fan of Dave Filoni. I haven't really kept up with the Star Wars shows. I haven't touched The Mandalorian. Didn't watch more than an episode of, what the heck's that show called?
Rebels.
What's the show called?
Rebels.
No, not Rebels. What the heck's that show?
Clone Wars, Rebels.
Batch.
No, the live action.
Oh.
Andor.
I haven't watched Andor, so I haven't been keeping up with my live action Star Wars, is what I was saying.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, I haven't watched more than an episode of that. And so my point is,
it's
goddamn
one.
I know. But anyways.
No, you don't, because you haven't watched it.
I didn't say anything. What? I didn't say anything bad
about
it.
No, you said, I know. I said, no, you don't, because you haven't watched it. Because
everyone has been telling me to watch it, Jonesy.
Doesn't like doing what you're told.
Anyways,
told,
we also got a little bit of extra detail regarding Charmaine Ovaid Shenoy's film. It's going to be set following the rise of Skywalker, and it will feature Daisy Ridley back as Rey as she builds a new Jedi Order. So let's start with Danny. Danny, you've been awfully silent this episode. What are you looking forward to most, and what are you dreading most, and why?
I'm not dreading anything. I am an outlier in this, and it's going to pee off Mr. Producer Kyle a lot, but I'm really enjoying all the Star Wars stuff at the moment. I genuinely think, though, a lot of it is because I really freaking hate a lot of the Marvel stuff at the moment, so I'm leaning into my other safe place stuff, which is the Star Wars
Star
stuff.
Trek.
There are hit and miss episodes in both Mandalorian and, of course, the Book of Boba Fett was a bit of a challenge, but ultimately I've been enjoying them overall. I've been loving seeing my Star Wars stuff on the screen again. I've just sat through the Ahsoka trailer, and that looks really cool. I'm liking what the trailer's given me there. So if this all is intertwining into a big screen version so I can go and see my favorite stuff on the big screen, then I'm actually super happy. I'm with Kyle on the heading 1,000 years in the past or the future for a whole completely new story with, was it James Mangold's, that his movie that could potentially do that? Yeah. I think that's a great idea too. Because again, I can have my, it's all about me, my Star Wars stuff, but I'm super happy to have it not connected with anything I'm currently watching. So honestly, Jammer, I'm not, you know, not dreading anything at all. I'm super happy to have more Star Wars. Mando's not been awesome, but there's been bits of each episode that I've really enjoyed. Boba Fett wasn't awesome, but there's bits of it that I've enjoyed. Andor was freaking great. So I'm just happy to have my Star Wars stuff. So
I like how everyone ignored Kenobi.
Star Wars stuff.
Oh, yeah,
no one's mentioned that one. Yeah, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. Same as we don't talk about Indiana Jones 4. It didn't happen. So I'm really enjoying all that stuff. The new Ahsoka trailer especially, there's characters and stuff in there that I didn't think I would see and ones that I didn't know were coming. Lightsabers, other Jedi. Amazing how Order 66 didn't really work that well, but who knows, right? I'm excited about it, Jammer. Sorry, mate.
Not when there's money to be made.
Give me my Star Wars. Give me my Star Wars. And don't put it in anime. Give it to me live action.
Jonesy, what are you dreading most, and why is it the Rise of Skywalker follow-up?
Part of it is I just hate the fact that they fucked over Finn, and they're like,
they really did.
Hey, the character, yeah, they really did. And so I don't know if they have enough goodwill with John Boyega to fix that.
No, he's not coming back. He's done.
Right. And so that is upsetting to me. And so you're bringing back the blandest, least interesting character from the series. Ignoring the one that you fucked over, because they might not.
Yeah, where's our Poe Dameron spinoff?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm interested in this only from the perspective of, like, it gives me Knights of the Old Republic vibes to say that we're going to move away from any time period that we know right now, that we've seen in live action. The only thing that worries me generally is tonally, Filoni moving from television to a feature, because Andor is the only project of anything in Star Wars that looks like a Star Wars project. Like, this looks amazing. Nothing else really does. It is acted like a Star Wars film. Yeah. It is acted like a Star Wars film. It is shot like a Star Wars film. Everything else looks like Disney Plus bullshit. And so I'm curious how they're going to bridge that gap and what that's going to look like.
I mean,
I'm curious then, Jonesy, what your definition of a Star Wars film looks like. Because
if you've seen Andor, right?
Nine movies and Han Solo and Rogue One, they don't look, a lot of them look the same, but Rogue One doesn't
look the same,
right? So,
but it looks more like Andor.
Look really, really similar.
Yeah, Andor looks more like those films.
I think it's because they look like actual sets. They look like actual sets as opposed to volume.
They're also just shot and acted better. Andor is just shot and acted better. It just is. Yeah. It is more consistent with the
better. I agree. I'm not sure about the shot thing. I don't know what you mean by visually looks like a Star Wars movie.
Think about some of the shots we've gotten with like establishing shots, the way planets look, the way ships look. It looks more in line with Rogue One than anything that we've gotten. Now, I will say that Mandalorian, especially this season, where we've gotten some space battles, like that stuff looks cool. But it looks more like new Star Wars versus anything else. I just think Andor has a better look to it. So, and I don't say this to say that I don't think it's possible. I'm just curious how they're going to bridge the gap between Boba Fett, which doesn't look particularly good, and any of the other Star Wars series. And it's not just a money
thing.
But the filming that they had to do, they had to use the, what's the name of the facility?
Volume.
Sorry, someone just
volume.
The volume. Volume. To use the volume, we had the zombie apocalypse, remember, which limited going out to live sets, etc. Now they've realized that it can be used. It has its limitations, and I agree it does look, and I know we discussed this on one of the other channels, it is a little bit cartoony, but I still don't understand how it doesn't look like a Star Wars film when Rogue One looks different to Return of the Jedi, which looks different to Phantom Menace.
For me, it comes to tangibility. I feel like I can touch the world of Rogue One and the movies.
And Andor. So yeah, even though you haven't seen
it, I don't feel like
it.
I haven't seen Andor. I watched an episode of Andor.
Say the same thing.
And then I don't feel like I can touch the world of The Mandalorian. It feels literally like they're in a vacuum. It feels like they're in volume. It feels like they're not in the real world. I think that's, as far as feeling and shots, that's kind of a very nebulous way of me explaining how it makes me feel.
But that's why I'm excited about
seeing it in movie form, because I agree with you, Jonesy. It will look different. It will be on set. It will be outdoors, I hope.
Filoni doesn't have the experience.
I shouldn't like the series. I like them for what they are, but I'd much rather see my stuff on the big screen, which is why I'm excited about the movies.
So not only that, the other aspect to it is like stunt casting or guest stars. That takes me out of the television experience.
Oh god, yeah.
I'm curious what they're going to do here.
Doc Brown was awful in the latest Mando.
Doc Brown, Jack Black, Lizzo. I'm like, whatever. So again, to me, that is part of bridging the gap between the cinematic universe and the television universe. Like, pushing that stuff out. But that's just
I got it. Yeah, I do want to see the I do want to see the Ahsoka Mandalorian stuff shot and looking like a movie, particularly based on Rogue One kind of movie. Rob, but you said Star Wars movies, and a lot of the Star Wars movies don't look the same. So that's why I was interested, what makes a Star Wars movie? Or did you just mean movie in general set in the Star Wars universe?
I think episodes 4 through 6 and no, 4 through 9 and what the hell's the last, Rogue One feel similar. I think all of those 7 feel similar.
Yeah, they do.
In terms of tangibility and the way that it's shot, and it feels like it's
in a while. I enjoy the Disney Plus stuff. It still feels like it's not the CW. It's like, you know, CW with more money.
I was going to say
they are different.
Mando season 1 and 2 really seemed to be that bridge between OT sequels and, you know, the, we'll call it, for lack of a better phrase, the grown up, the mature Star Wars, and the stuff with Rebels and the Clone Wars. And season 1 and 2, relatively, there were some moments with bad writing, bad acting. You think of the backstabbing bounty hunter in season 1. That was awful. And there's moments in season 2, but season 3 has taken such a dramatic turn to just being live action Clone Wars or Rebels, except for one episode, and it didn't even feature the Mandalorian. That's the only one.
The Rebel side, isn't it?
That's my fear, and so many people are okay. They're like, well, if you just adjust to, hey, it is a live action cartoon, and I mentioned this on the Cantina here on the Genreverse. I was like, if Mando season 1 and 2 didn't happen, I wouldn't be as upset. I might not have ever gotten into the show because it wouldn't have been for me, which is fine. My biggest issue is you already had something and it was doing well. And then you literally deliver soap opera level writing with soap opera level acting and some of the thinnest plot armor and some of the worst technical mistakes I've seen in a really, really, really long time.
I don't know that you can say that, Danny. You can't say that confidently. No,
that's fake.
Think about the projects that have been canceled. Think about the issues that they've been having. You know, once they step into the movie realm, they're, you know, this is Kathleen Kennedy's show.
I guess I'm hopeful that I shouldn't have faith because I'm not that well inclined, but I am genuinely feeling that a movie of these shows, which is what you guys rightly kind of predicted a couple of years ago, I think it will be better than the TV shows. It will be less cartoony. The needle will go the other way. Like Kyle said, it's gone too far towards the cartoons and not enough towards the adult Star Wars, for want of a better word. I think the movies will hit it right in the middle where we like, where we enjoyed Mando season 1, or even lean closer to the adult, because the biggest movie, Rogue One was not expected to make any money. Who needs a bridge between episode 3 and 4? And there it was, a $1 billion movie. And it was adult version
better,
of Star Wars.
Better than the Han Solo movie. Who would have thought?
Yeah. So that's why I have a bit more confidence that the movie will get it right. Now, I know Rogue One had its challenges, its issues, its rewrites, its directors and stuff, but it ended up being a $1 billion movie, and it was pretty fucking awesome too. So I enjoyed it anyway. So that's why I have a bit more confidence. I guess that's where I lean. I'm enjoying the TV shows. They're not great, but the movies, give it to me. Baby, spank it on me, baby.
Wow, what's going on here? All right. Yeah. Yeah, good for you and your optimism. I don't have it. Jammer, anything else to say before we move on? Yeah, I am jaded, especially when it comes to Star Wars.
I think James Mangold's great. I think that'll be probably a special movie. Dave Filoni, we'll see. I mean, he hasn't had the experience of working on something more tangible, so it'll be certainly a leap up. Hopefully he'll rise to the occasion, and hopefully it'll be good, but I am not so sure about that. The one, the James Mangold, and the other one, I think I'm fairly excited for both of those projects. Dave Filoni, I'll have to wait and see on.
All right. Well, I think that's it, right? We're out of stories, we're out of movies, we're out of films, we're out of the thing. We can shut it down.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. Shut it down. So, folks, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Don't forget, LRM and the Genreverse Podcast Network have other things for you to read, listen, check out. Also, don't forget, we have a Discord. We've got more and more folks joining all the time, having conversations about this and all kinds of other fantastic stuff. And we hope to have you there. Other than that, Danny, what are you doing? Oh, there's a dog. Jammer, where can you be found?
You could find me on Twitter at AJ Cerner Writer, and all of my stuff at MagiaBooks.com, MagiaBooks.com. And I love that doggy.
This and is Danny, Leia, where... named after guess who?
Aw, cutie. Princess Leia.
Danny, where can you be found?
With Leia. You can find me playing with Princess Leia. There will be no spanking.
And you can find me under the name Sir Jonesy on all the socials. And of course, right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Folks, as always, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Do not get any on ya.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.